It's an honor and privilege to be here to share the word with you this morning. Not only have you guys supported us all our years in Europe, where we started a master's commission, which is a school of discipleship there, where we've done youth ministry there. We went from that and became the national youth directors for all of Austria. And working with that has 61 churches there, but only 15 youth groups out of that. And so our hearts for youth ministry have always been there. And we started to develop youth ministry in Austria. That got us linked with the National Youth of Europe. So we moved where the head office is there in Belgium. So we lived over in Brussels, Belgium for 3 years, working with all the National Youth of Europe, about 44 nations all throughout there, been to about 28 of them, just an incredible place. Some of the food is good. Some of the food is not good. Do not eat the goat cheese in Macedonia. That's all I can say there. It'll mess you up. It's just a crazy ride, though, to see what God has been doing in the lives of young people all around the globe. And somehow in God's infinite wisdom, he decided to bring us back to America, where we are now working with Youth Alive in Florida, but actually all of U.S., as we're trying to develop something brand new. Nobody else is doing this, but what we discovered is that 50% of all of the Assembly of God churches don't have youth ministry. Let that sink in for a bit. In traveling around, itinerating, raising money, we have seen that so many churches don't have youth ministry, and we don't have a plan for that. And so I started going, hey, this is what we were doing in Europe. Let's do it here and see what God will do. And so we started development. We're calling it PF Youth Development, which stands for Penn, Florida. But the idea is, I was praying just the other day that God would give us 20 U.S. missionaries here in America that would be able to plant youth ministries. Simple vision. It's 3 P's. It's a placement, planting, partnership. And the idea is that we are becoming a placement office for youth ministry. We are planting youth ministry in the churches, and we are partnering and developing people that will go and do the same thing. So it's an incredible thing. It's easily reproducible is what we're hoping. And so it's been really incredible. As of today, actually just Friday night, we had our 14th person hired as a youth pastor. Hallelujah. That's 14 youth groups, brand new youth groups that God is raising up. Man, how many teenagers is that? I know for me that my youth pastor was my hero. I remember watching him worship God, and I was like, you know, I was just a funky teenager, and I was like, man, this church stuff, I don't know about that. But he was so passionate for God. And I remember on a Sunday morning, just like this, I said, God, if that's what it is to know you, I want what he's got. They're watching you, man. They're watching you. And I prayed that prayer, God, do what you want to do in me. I want what he's got, and that changed my life. He became my hero. I wanted to do everything like him. We'd pray. I just meet at the church and pray together with him. It was awesome. God's still using him. He still supports me now, and now he's been a senior pastor for years. But it's incredible the impact that a youth pastor can have on a young person. I remember when Pastor Rick was the youth pastor here. Maybe some of you were in his youth group back then. I don't know. I thought Jesus would come before I got this old, so I don't know. It's my wife and kids, they do send their greetings as well. But my wife had to stay behind, take her mother to the airport this morning. But she's doing well. She says hi. My daughters, they all have their own life now. When we first came through here itinerating for the first time, my kids were 3 and 1. Now they are 20 and 17. I have a senior in high school. One more year. So it's exciting. They have their own lives. They're very active in their church there in Orlando, Florida, getting ready for National Fine Arts, which is in 2 weeks in Orlando. So it's going to be a fun ride there. But they all say hi, and they're going to get up here one of these days because it's not that far. So it's just interesting to be here with you all. I mean, I could spend all day long sharing stories with you guys of missions things and how God moves through missions and how God is using us to develop something brand new in youth ministry. Not only have we placed the 14 people, but we have planted 3 youth groups, and we're working on a fourth right now. This is where we go into a small church. They have nothing. We're going in trying to find interns or volunteers and try to train them up to do that. So that's, we're on our fourth one of that. This is all this year. Basically, we've only been doing this not even quite a year yet. I can't wait to see what God's going to do in a few more years. I mean, God, when we put our dreams in his hands, it's amazing what God can do in and through us. I hope that you guys, and I believe that you are not this way, that you're not the kind of church that thinks that God is, you know, he can only use the pastors. Well, that's the pastors. That's their job. They have to do that. No, God wants to use every single one of us. Every single one of us. I remember when I was 15 years old when God called me into ministry, and I thought, man, I have to wait until I have the Bible degree. I have to wait till I'm out of college and I have prestige and whatever. I don't know. And I used to think I had to have all those things where God was saying, look, I'm just looking for people that will say, here I am, God. Do what you want to. I mean, it's a crazy ride. It's the most best ride I've ever been on in my life. My translator in French or German would have had a really hard problem with that English sentence. I learned that being in Austria, especially, that German and a Southern accent do not mix very well. Dear God. And for some reason, whenever I try to speak German, this Southern accent would just come crashing in and they'd be howling, laughing at me. It was great. I remember the first 3 weeks we were there, I was just trying to tell everybody good night. In German. I mean, that should be pretty easy. Gute Nacht. But you have to have the "cht" at the end or you mess up the entire word. And for 3 weeks, I wasn't telling everybody good night. I was telling them good naked. They're like, Pastor Jeff, you need to enunciate your German a little better. And it's been a fun ride being overseas. We're still, my dream is for global youth ministry development. What we're starting here in the U.S., I don't think it's only for U.S., but it's for the world. The world needs youth ministry. Just a short statistic here. Wrap your minds around this. 90% of the world's youth ministry is done here in North America. 90%. Yeah, the world needs youth ministry. In fact, in next March, I will be going to the World Assembly of God Fellowship's youth gathering in Madrid, Spain. So we're still connected with national leaders, still believing for God to raise up national ministries all over the globe. You wouldn't believe some of the invitations we're getting. It's like God knew that by being a U.S. missionary, I can actually have more freedom to travel anywhere in the globe now. It's really amazing. So not only are we developing ministry here in the U.S., but my prayer is that it will be a birthing ground for youth ministry globally, because they need it everywhere. It's just an incredible thing. But I could talk all day about what God's doing in youth ministry. It's great. But I want to share the word with you. In Acts chapter 3. And if you know this story, maybe you grew up in kids' church where, you know, we always heard the song that we used to sing in kids' church. It'd be like, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He went walking and leaping and praising God. Am I the only one in kids' church that's sung? Because like as a kid, I was always like, oh, here we go again with this song, you know. I told my kids that, and they're like, they just looked at me like I was from outer space somewhere. But anyway, we used to sing that in kids' church. So this story, maybe you've been familiar with it in the Bible before, which I like the book of Acts because it's all about the acts of the early church. And I think that should describe church, right? Acts, action. We're doing something. God is doing something that is worth writing down. And in this story of the early church, I mean, this is one chapter right after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's poured out, shakes the place. Everyone's speaking in tongues, which we preach a lot in the AG, in the Pentecostal churches. But then we get to this story, and there's something really interesting that stuck out to me. So I want to read it. And then I got a quick video clip we can look at about it. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 16. Stick with me for a few verses here. This is 16 verses we're going to read. So don't get too tired standing up. Thank you for honoring the Lord's word. Chapter 3, verse 1. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. I'll get to that in a minute. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us!" The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. That sounds like a church service. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame man they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, which is a place in the temple, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John. I mean, wow. Verse 12, Peter saw his opportunity and addressed the crowd. "People of Israel," he said, "what is so surprising about this?" It's one of the funniest questions in the Bible. "What is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we had made this man walk by our own power or godliness? For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to his servant Jesus by doing this. This is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate, despite Pilate's decision to release him. You rejected his holy and righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. Through faith in the name of Jesus, this man was healed, and you know how crippled he was before. Faith in Jesus' name has healed him before your very eyes." Jesus, thank you for your word this morning. I pray you speak to us. Call us to action, oh God. I pray for your authority, your anointing, and your actions in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you get a picture of this story? They're going to the temple to pray. I mean, this is like something that they did in, if you study Hebrew culture and everything like that, they would go and pray 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening. So this was a normal part of their life to go and pray. They're on their way going at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we complain about one service a week went for. So they're going into this prayer thing. Peter and John are going, and they see this lame man brought there every day. They didn't say how many times they saw him sitting there. He was there all the time. And they were like, "You know what? We're on our way to pray. Let's see God do something. I don't have all the things that are great. I don't have the money. I can't pay for your medical expenses." But he said, "What I do have, I give to you, and it is the power and presence of Jesus in his name." And he grabs him and he gets up and walking. I mean, he starts, they don't show it in the video, but I imagine when the Bible says that he went walking and leaping and praising God, I imagine he was causing a little bit of a commotion. It wasn't dead service. It wasn't like, "Oh, here we go. We got to be religious. We got to." No, it wasn't like that. It was like, "Whoa, this is God moving. This is how church is supposed to be." And the verse that stuck out in my mind is the one that we read in verse 15. No, it says in verse 12, it says, Peter sees the crowd drawing, getting around him, and he goes, "What is so surprising about this?" I mean, the guy just got healed. He just got up. I mean, I can imagine him trying to explain this whole story. And he was lame, and now he's not lame anymore. And he just got up, and he's going, "Yeah, what's so surprising about this?" And what it caused me to think about was, what does normal church look like for us? What was different about them that is different about our churches here in America today? What is different? 3 things very quickly today that I want to share with you. They prayed differently. They thought and believed differently. and they were used by God differently. Doesn't have to be different today for us. Maybe you more relate with the lame man. Your life is broken, going through stuff in life. There are people all outside these doors without Christ that their lives are messed up, and they're like this lame man, and they're just going, man, I wish the church would do something. And it's going to take the church to make a difference. But first, we've got to pray differently. I mean, we're already saying it. They're praying three times a day. How many times a day are you praying? The New Testament says to be praying without ceasing. That means never stopping. This ought to be a lifestyle of prayer in our lives. If you're a Christian, you should have a lifestyle of prayer that changes not only your life, but the lives around you. My youth pastor, you know, he was like, Jeff, you're going to be part of the youth discipleship team. So here's what you got to do. You got to read three chapters of the Bible a day, and you got to pray for 30 minutes every day. I'm like, you know, the first time I tried it, it was like 5 minutes, and I'm going, all right, I've prayed for everybody's mothers, uncles, aunts, and I prayed for everybody. And it only been 5 minutes, and I'm like, God, how do I do 30 minutes? But after a while, it just became this conversation of me and God. And I can tell you this, there's no way I'd be doing ministry without prayer. In fact, I learned very early on that all ministry is first done on my knees. Because if it ain't God doing it, there's no reason why we should be doing it, right? I want to see God move. How many want to see God move? I want to see God move. It's going to require us to get a prayer life that is different. There's so many verses in the Bible about prayer. I love the one in Jeremiah 33, and I'm just going to go through these really quick because they're awesome. God says, ask me, and I will tell you remarkable secrets you do not know about things to come. Problem is, we're not asking. We're so distracted nowadays. Even Jesus, in Luke chapter 5, it says Jesus had to pull away and pray. Jesus and his ministry that he had for only 3 years had to pull away and pray. If he needed to pray for what he was doing, don't you think we need to pray for what we're doing? Even the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's where he gave us the example of the Lord's Prayer. Not that we're supposed to recite this out of religiousness because it's ritual. Well, if we just say this magic prayer, everything works properly. No, it's this heart difference inside of us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory, all this, right? This is a pattern for us that we can learn in prayer. Seven keys to praying, very quick. Number one, give honor and thanks to God. Always start with thanks. God, I thank you. When I wake up in the morning, take that breath of air. God, thank you. I'm alive today. Thank you that the sun's out. Thank you that I am in Georgia today. I can think of a lot worse places. I've been to them. Give honor and thanks. He's Almighty God. That whole saying, hallowed be thy name, that's holy is your name. God, your name is holy, like we were singing today. This ought to be a part of our prayer. As soon as we wake up every morning, God, you are holy today. Thank you for all that you have done. How many times you've asked God for help and he's actually done it, and then we forget to say thank you. Second, ask for his will. It's not about us, folks. It's about him. Third, say what you need and ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask God for help. The Bible says he already knows what you need before you even ask him. He just wants you to spend time with him. Fourth, this is deep. Ask for forgiveness and give forgiveness to others. We could spend a whole message on that. Forgiveness is powerful. Jesus said that if you don't forgive others, you won't be forgiven. I don't know if you're holding anything against anyone today, but if you don't feel close to God, maybe it's because you need to forgive someone. Okay, I won't step on your toes there any longer. Number five, believe you have what you ask for. Jesus said that when we come boldly into his throne room, we're supposed to ask with boldness. I believe that Christians, we don't see God move because we haven't learned how to pray audacious prayers. Audacious. I want to be bodacious. I want to ask God for the craziest things because he says that we have not because we ask not. And when we do ask, a lot of times we're just asking for our own selfish reasons. It's not about that. Prayer is about what God wants to do in and through you and in this life. Number six, pray the word. There's something powerful when you're praying. How many of you guys have experienced this? You're praying, the Spirit of God comes on you, and scripture starts coming to mind, and you start praying that scripture verse. It's powerful. Your prayers are powerful. James chapter 5 says that the fervent prayer of a righteous person, their prayers are powerful. Your prayers work. You might not see it all the time, but your prayers are making a difference. We ought to love to get into God's presence. It's not about, you know, okay, who can pray over the meal now? That's not prayer or right before bed. Well, Lord, I know I need to have devotions today, so dear Jesus, please give me a good night's rest. If that's the extent of your prayer life, no wonder the world looks at the church and says, man, where's the power? I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I want to be the kind of Christian that people go to that church. That church prays. When they pray, stuff happens. Prayer changes the world, and yet we go, well, that's the pastor's job. We pay him to do that. Okay, well, I won't stay there. Pray the word. I can tell you something. When you are praying the word, I can do all things through Christ, and you start praying that verse, all of a sudden God's Spirit starts to use that word as a weapon. The word of God is a sword. It's not supposed to stay in the sheath. Well, I carry it to church every Sunday. That's not enough. Pray the word. Seventhly and lastly, pray with godly friends. There's something about agreeing together and praying. There's something about praying out loud. I remember the first time I was already a youth pastor, and my pastor was like, okay, you got to lead the prayer tonight, and I want you to do it out loud. And I'm like, you know, we're always afraid. Well, we don't want to offend anyone. There's something about praying out loud that all of a sudden God starts to flow through you. And you're like, whoa, this is cool. Praying out loud works. This is awesome. And then you want all your friends to join in. And there's something about the power of agreement that happens when you're praying together with someone and they're praying with you. It's like, without the churches praying for missionaries, I'll tell you, there would not be any missionaries. Pray. If you want to be a church that is different or like normal Book of Acts, why does this so surprise you? Get a prayer life that people go, man, when I need something, I'm going to ask them to pray for me. I remember growing up in school, I wasn't the only Christian, but I was one of the Christians there, and they'd make fun of me. Oh, yeah, they were calling me Pastor Jeff back then, and I was like 17, you know. But when they had a need, they'd go, Jeff, I'm sorry for making fun of you. Would you pray for me? And because the world sees when you have the goods and when you don't. Are you a praying church? Are you a praying Christian? Because if you want the Books of Acts kind of lifestyle, it's going to require you to have a prayer life. Amen. I could preach on that and we could end on that and that'd be the only thing. But that's not it. That's just part of being a normal. The other thing is they thought and believed differently. Number two, the first thing, they prayed differently. Number two, they thought and believed differently. They had faith for one. I mean, Peter said it. It was by faith in Jesus' name that healed this man. And a lot of us, we only hear this verse when it's about someone getting healed and the miraculous, because we all want to see the miraculous. Yeah, miraculous. But they also thought differently. Here's what I mean. They could have been on their way to church to pray by themselves, and they probably saw the man, but you know, they didn't want to do anything. You know, after all, what happens if they prayed for him and nothing happened? What if they allowed the thought of their inadequacy to keep them from being used by God? This is what grabbed my attention, because if you read in the Bible, like the next chapter in Acts, they called the, you know, all the Pharisees, they all call the Peter and John before them. They're like, how did this happen? And they took note that these men were unlearned, unschooled, ordinary dudes, but they had been with Jesus. But they could have let that thought of well, you know, I don't have the right Bible school degree. I don't have this training. I don't have, well, you know, we only spent 3 years with Jesus. We better pray some more. They could have let the thought of inadequacy keep them from doing the actions of God. And I really felt this strongly this morning that God has sent me here to kind of just break the spirit of inadequacy off of us. And I'm preaching to myself here. This isn't at you. This is for me too. Because I have felt those times where maybe God wanted me to say something to somebody and I didn't do it because I felt inadequate. Well, I'm too short. I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too fat. We can make up every excuse. Last night, I was getting Popeyes down here at the gas station and there was a lady at the gas station. I was like, man, I should have invited her to church. Why didn't I do that? Because I'm afraid. A lot of our inadequacy is based on fears that we have. Our insecurities, our inabilities, our disabilities, the labels that people put on us. Well, you're just, I always got that. Well, yeah, you're a nice guy, Jeff, but you're just Jeff. I don't want to be just Jeff. I don't want to let the thought of the insecurities, because the devil, when he sees that you're praying, he's going to try to bring something in your mind that says, well, you can't do that. You can pray, but you can't do that. But Peter and John didn't have that. They had that thought of, you know, look, we're not rich. We don't have the money. We don't have the schooling. We don't have the training. We don't have all these things, but what I do have, I will give you. That's the problem, is that we are so busy looking at our inadequacies that we fail to see the unlimitedness that God has for us. Don't get lost in that. Don't be looking at, all of us battle with our inadequacies. Well, I don't wear the right clothes. I don't have this. I don't have the right haircut. I don't have, we battle insecurities. Maybe I'm the only one. I'm preaching to myself right now. Because I'm just like, man, I've faced so many things that the devil says, well, you can't do this. It's never been done this way. Oh, well, you can't pray for that audacious prayer. 20 missionaries for the U.S. How's that going to happen? I have no idea. I'm praying for 20 world missionaries that will do youth ministry overseas. How's that going to happen? I can't do this. But what I do know is that when God starts to do stuff in and through us, and I start thinking like he thinks, I could preach right now. Because what the problem is that we think so much about what we can't do. Well, I don't have this. The deal is that the disciples understood God's love. I think this is why Paul prayed to the Ephesian church, that he said, I pray that you would be able to grasp, get a handle, just a little bit of a, you know, I don't know if you ever tried to grasp something and you're just like, when you see in the movies and they're like, they're stretching, and in the movie you're just like, and you feel it with them because they're just trying to grasp that, and you want to reach into the movie and help them do it, right? And I think Paul is teaching us, if we could just grasp how deep, how wide, how long, how high the love of God is, it would change the way we see the world. It would change the way we see ourselves if we could grasp his love. Because then we would grasp his acceptance for us. Then we would grasp his approval for us. God approves you. God accepts you. Just the way you are. It's not like he's like, well, since you came to church this morning, I can accept you. No, he accepted you before you even came in this church. He accepts you. He approves you. Yet we believe the lies of the enemy and beat ourselves down. Maybe we've heard it all our lives. You're worthless. You're this. You're that. You're from the wrong town. The devil tries to, he plays dirty. Change our thinking. How do we change this thinking of inadequacy? I'm glad you asked. How to battle your insecurities. These I'm preaching to myself, because I got to tell you, just being completely open and honest with you here this morning, when we came back from Europe, we were crushed in ministry. Ministry sometimes is tough. And this was one of those times. I mean, we were crushed. We didn't know where God was going. We didn't know what he was doing. Everything in Europe was closing. Our dads were dying of cancer. We were going, God, what in the world is going on? What do you have going on? We called the Assembly of God hotline for counseling. We're like, is something wrong with us? They're like, you know, you just listed all the top six reasons why missionaries leave the field. You have all six going on at the same time. They're like, there's nothing wrong with you. But I had believed the lie of the enemy that I wasn't good enough. The reason why I couldn't go back to Europe was because I wasn't good enough. And God's going, no, I've got something bigger in store for you. So many times we get caught in the problems that we face that we forget that God's actually trying to take us deeper and into greater things. So how do we overcome these battles of insecurities? Discover and celebrate your strengths, number one. Celebrate you sometimes. Can I say this a little bit? So many times in the church, we think that that's wrong. You know, well, that's pride. We don't want to celebrate ourselves. But you do things that no one else can do, and you need to celebrate that you can do it. What can you do? Celebrate your things. I'm goofy. I'm going to start celebrating that I am goofy because it helps me in youth ministry. Hallelujah. I used to bash myself that I was never one of the cool preachers. I didn't have the cool preacher thing. I'm not organized. I don't have that thing. I'm just a goofy teenager guy that never grew up. Celebrate your gifts. Cheer yourself on. Sometimes you got to be your own cheerleader. You ever done that? Like, look in the mirror. Like, I am valuable. I am victorious. I've started... Listen, this isn't just a sermon for you. This is a sermon that I've been preaching to myself for the last year. I've got to do this to myself. I'm like, God, I don't know if I can do this. I'm taking on something that everyone, I got other ministers looking at me going, you are crazy. It's never going to happen. What are you doing here? Go back to Europe. Oh, I've heard it. And God's saying, you are valuable. You are victorious. I'm calling you to that. You are accepted. You have my approval. If God be for us, who can be against us? We forget this so many times because we're believing the lie of inadequacy. Use the word of God and proclaim it out loud. You got to do this. I remember the day that there were some things that were spoken of us by good, godly Christian leaders, but they tore us to shreds. And I remember going, God, I do not accept the words of discouragement from them. I disqualify their disqualification. Well, if you guys knew the whole story, you'd be shouting a whole lot more. That was huge for me. I was in a pit of depression. Never been there. I'm a quite positive person, but I was in a pit of depression because I was not worthy of doing ministry. I thought, and God was saying, look, you've got to be able to speak the word of God. And he was saying, I have called you to something more. You ever preach to yourself like this? Man, use the word of God and proclaim it out loud. God says, I am a child of God. You got to preach to yourself sometimes. Declare it out loud. You got to change your words and thoughts. You can't look in the mirror anymore and go, man, I'm so stupid. Well, okay, maybe I blew it that time, but God, you said... I'm this, I'm that, I'm valuable to you. You've called me a warrior. What is God calling you today? Change your words and thoughts. Five, practice good posture. This is just basic things. I looked it up on psychology.com. That if you just hold your posture right, you brighten yourself up. Instead of, we get worn down in life. I'm learning this now that I'm 46. You get worn down in life sometimes. Just practicing good posture can uplift your spirits. Imagine that. Number six, this is just easy stuff. Dress for success. When you dress better, you feel better. Not saying I don't like my jeans. I like my jeans. But I believe that we've got to dress how God wants us to feel. You want to feel good about yourself? That's better. It's not scriptural. It's just psychology.com. Number seven, final one, have godly leaders speak into your lives. You've got to have friends. Man, one of the first people we called was Pastor Rick. I said, Pastor Rick, I'm going through it. We've battled all these things. And he's like, let me pray for you. I had other pastors. I had about 10 pastors that I talked to and poured my heart, cried my heart out to them. And having that support around you, this is why you can't leave church. You got to have that support around you to change the way that you think, to help bolster you in that, till you can stand on your own. Because if we're going to be a church that is different, we have to not only pray differently, we have to think and behave differently. But we have to believe differently. We get so caught up in the world. I don't know if any of you are realists today. That we look at life as it is. This is how it is. Well, they got cancer. This is how it is. Instead of going, but how does God see this situation? When my father-in-law just passed away in February, late February, I was sitting in the room when he passed. And I was like, God, if you want me to lay my hands on him right now and raise him from the dead, I'm willing. I'm like, God, just do it right now. And he was like, it's not his time. I was like, okay. Because I knew that if I called him back in the name of Jesus and he sat back up again, he would have been like, what the heck are you doing? And slapped me and went back. Like, send me back. You had to know my father-in-law. The Puerto Rican, big New Yorkerican guy that he was. Sometimes God has other plans. But what the early church did was they prayed differently, they thought and believed differently, and the last and third thing is that they were used by God differently. I want to be used by God. Amen? Yeah, I'm almost done, don't worry. They were used by God differently. They were bold. They were obedient. They had crazy faith. They were like, okay, God, we see that this early church, you know, that they said not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore, but we give that to you and we're going to do what you say anyway. And the place where they were meeting was shaken and they spread the word of God even more boldly. Maybe the reason why all of Georgia doesn't know Jesus yet is because we haven't prayed like we're supposed to, we haven't believed and thought like we're supposed to, and we haven't allowed God to use us like he wants to. It's like I feel like sometimes God's just waiting in heaven for us to say, okay, God, I'll do anything that you want. What would happen today if this church starts saying, God, I'll do whatever you want today? Whatever that means. If you want me to talk to somebody, I'll talk to him. You want me to invite him over to the house? I'll invite him over to the house. You want me to lay my hands on someone that's sick? I'll do it. When's the last time you did that? When's the last time you said, God, use me however you want? Because great things happen through the church when they not only pray, but they actually step out in that prayer. When it's like, okay, God, we have prayed. We've had our prayer meeting. Now let's go do something. Don't be afraid for the people all on the streets or in the grocery store that you see. You don't know what they're facing, and God might put you in their path. He might have assigned you to this place just for them. And God's waiting on you to be used by him. Who will God use in this room to raise up somebody that's lame? Someone that's struggling in their life. God wants to use you in a mighty way. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. All things are possible to him that believes. Where's the church that acts on that? I want to be part of that. I want to pray differently. I want to believe and think differently. And I want to be used by God differently in a supernatural way. Because when we do that, we'll experience God differently and we will worship differently. I mean, walking, leaping, praising God, that sounds like church. I want to be part of that church that is experiencing God, that everyone goes, man, have you heard what God's doing there? I know that whatever I'm trying to do with this youth ministry stuff, that one day people will go, only God could have done that. What can God do in and through you this week, this month? Before summer ends, God wants to use you in a powerful way. I want everybody to stand up with me. I'm done. Hallelujah. I'm pumped up. I want to see God move. And it's so funny that Peter would say, what's so surprising about this? Like, this was like an everyday occurrence for them of just going, well, this is God moving like he does in church. This is normal church service for us. We, you know, we're just going on our way to pray like we normally do every day. Maybe it's your prayer life that needs changing. Maybe it's your belief and thoughts that needs changing. Maybe it's just your willingness to say, God, here I am, use me, that will change the way your life is. I want my life to be changed. I want my life to look like the book of Acts. I want my ministry, I want my churches to look like the book of Acts. Not well, this is just what we do every Sunday. I want that. I want the power and presence of God to move. Jesus, God, we give you our lives today. Lord, I don't know the condition of everyone's heart, their circumstances. But Lord, I believe that you have spoken to us, God, that not only does our prayer life need to improve, but God, we got to change our thinking. God, we bind the spirit of inadequacy in the name of Jesus. God, no longer can hidden treasures be a hidden church in Jesus' name. No longer can we say, well, God, I wish that you would do this, but I know that you can't use me because of this, this, this. God, we break those things off our lives. No more lies of the enemy over us. We are good enough. We are valuable enough. We are victorious. God, we are conquerors through you. We thank you for the victory that you give us, God. That when we ask, you hear us. We thank you, Jesus. Change our thinking. And God, I pray that you would use us in a supernatural way.